Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to chat to my friends about the films and the series that we're loving. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop.
Did you see the thing yesterday on the TV?
Top of the morning.
Good morning, Russell.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
All right, bud. How are you?
I'm okay, man.
Nice.
Welcome to the video store. Thank you for wandering in, guys. Thanks for browsing the shelves as you listen to me and these two handsome men talk a bit of shit.
Yeah.
We've got ourselves a Graham Hackney.
Good morning.
Who is a video editor.
Yeah.
And the producer of the show. We've got ourselves a Perrin.
Hello.
A P-Dog. Mm-hmm. You are a multi-faceted gentleman. You shoot, you write, you
edit. Yeah, I do a bit of everything.
Little bit of everything. And my name is Russell. I am the owner of The Bioscope, which is an independent cinema here in Johannesburg. And we give up our busy lives to come and work a shift here.
Yeah.
Today's shift is brought to us by the fantastic movie Caught Stealing, which we are very excited about.
Yeah.
This is coming at the end of August. And for those who know myself and the Bioscope, I can't stress it enough. This really is a Bioscope movie.
Yeah.
This is Darren Aronofsky directing, who is the creative genius behind films like Requiem for a Dream, Mother, The Whale.
Black Swan,
that's right.
The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Pie.
Pie was his first film.
Wow, yeah.
So this is very exciting. A lot of his stuff is quite serious, but Caught Stealing seems a bit fun.
Yeah.
It's got Austin Butler and Zoe Kravitz. It's set in the 90s, which is very cool that that's an era we are now, can go
it's
back
to. It's considered vintage now.
Yeah, we can go back to nostalgically, which is...
It's depressing.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I am days away from turning 40 and
and
I'm feeling it when you think of the 90s as being a retro era. Yeah.
Right.
The 2000s are even becoming retro.
They sure are. Because we have Backstreet Boys at the Sphere at the moment.
Yeah.
And that shit's all over YouTube and you just are realizing how
I watched them when they came here.
Did you?
Yeah, that was awesome. It's fucking awesome.
That's so funny.
Yeah, we got free tickets, me and Kira.
That's cool.
Yeah, we dressed up and we went and we were supposed to get standing. No, it was we got Golden Circle. We're like, fuck yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then 15 minutes into it, we're like, oh man, Golden Circle sucks because standing the whole time. We're like, we want to go sit down. We couldn't convince people to trade with us, which is weird.
Yeah.
But every banger was there. I want it that way.
Yeah.
No. Oh
my God. It was just amazing that, a bunch of grown men doing the sort of reached out arms, the pull to a clench, the synchronized dance moves.
Right.
It just seems so strange when you really think about it. We are today going to talk, I think, perhaps predominantly in the sense that it's the main topic of discussion, the film Weapons, which we were only sadly given one spot, which I think just shows how in demand it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did a little ching chong cha and that went to Perrin.
Yes.
Because Perrin is our perhaps more sort of horror thriller aficionado.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say. We'll get his verdict and we'll talk more about it. We always do a little, hey, did you guys see, to begin with, to talk about some chats, and then we'll just see where this all takes us. Should we kick things off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who wants to start?
I can get us going.
Cool.
Hey, let's start with this one. Hey, did you guys see that Hulu is going to be added to Disney+.
Yeah, it's merging.
Yes. Yeah. So right now for us, at least in the US, you can get Hulu through Disney Plus.
Okay.
For us right now, we get most of the Hulu stuff, or at least some of the Hulu stuff through Star.
Yeah, it's
which is
Indian,
incorporated,
right?
Yeah, which is incorporated into Disney Plus. But Hulu is going to be added in.
Will that be worldwide?
I think so, yeah.
That's cool. Cause
yeah, what Hulu. Does that mean?
So Hulu, okay, so Star has, okay, so with Hulu, so I have Hulu because I have the VPN thing. There's just a lot more stuff there. There's like a lot more reality stuff. There's a lot more Hulu exclusives, movies and stuff that we don't have yet.
Okay.
So there would be like certain documentaries that are considered Hulu originals that we don't have yet, but we get it eventually.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting. I'm hoping it does
so where
blend
did we,
worldwide.
Where did we get it eventually?
It'll be on Disney Plus.
It'll be next year.
In the past, before, where did Hulu stuff filter down to?
It would be like DSTV. Yeah. It would come through other means of it. So DSTV, Amazon maybe.
So it wasn't an obvious place where we did get it before.
Mm-mm.
It just sort of filtered down.
So just an example, Fox Searchlight, because they're owned by Disney, a lot of their stuff when they would come to streaming would go straight to Hulu.
Yes.
So like something like A Real Pain, when it came to streaming, it debuted on Hulu in America.
Yeah. Okay, and that did end up in Disney. Okay, so it makes sense. All right, so it just makes it all a little bit easier.
Yeah, it just makes Disney Plus a you know, bigger platform.
A better platform.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hey, did you guys see ex-Superman actor Dean Cain says he's becoming an ICE agent?
Yes.
Because he wants to help save America.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So he's been quite right-wing for a while.
Yes.
And he's definitely revoked his Superman card after this.
because in your eyes.
Yeah, no, because he's doing literally everything Superman is against. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Superman's an immigrant, an illegal immigrant.
Yeah, let's not forget.
Yeah.
Kansas didn't want him to come crashing into.
He's not a registered voter.
Yes.
You know, he is everything that's wrong with America. So yeah, that's happening. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like it feels very Steven Seagal, you know.
Yeah.
You heard Steven Seagal. I don't know how true it is, but apparently he joined because he's a big buddies with Putin.
Yeah.
Apparently he's fighting in Ukraine.
Oh, my Lord. Fighting.
And like, I wouldn't put it past him.
No,
he's insane.
He is sitting on his phone in a house in, like, the valley of Los Angeles.
Mm.
Like, Seagal has reportedly, like, just lied his whole life.
Yeah.
Where, who his mom is, what his history is, what his background is. He's just created smoke and mirrors.
He's not a real Seagal. It's just...
not a real Seagal.
Do you know what the real irony of this Dean Cain thing is?
Yeah.
Do you know what his father's name is?
No.
His father's name is Roger Tanaka. Because his parents are Japanese immigrants.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
So he's like the grandson of Japanese immigrants, and he's like, no more immigrants.
Yeah, you see...
That's what people call pulling the ladder up behind yourself.
100%. Yeah, Dean Cain.
Insane.
Hope it doesn't work out, bud. Russ, you got one?
No, I've been caught up in Japanese film festivals.
Cool.
I mean, that's not a bad thing to be caught up in.
At the Bioscope,
right.
One or two power cuts. So I haven't had the chance to get into it.
Okay.
But I love hearing this all from you. So thank you for helping me get the news.
In that case, I'll do one that looks very Russell.
Okay.
Hey, did you guys see the trailer for Rental Family?
No.
So this is a new Brendan Fraser movie.
Oh, yes, the Japanese one. Yes.
So it's set in Japan.
Okay.
He plays an actor, like a struggling actor in Japan, and he gets a job as at an agency where you become a rental family member. So someone will rent you as like an older brother.
That's like a thing in Japan.
Like
Isn't that a thing?
As like a stand-in brother or like a stand-in father to a child and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So Brendan Fraser plays a guy who is recruited at one of these agencies to go in and become like a family member for a bunch of Japanese people.
So
it looks really sweet.
I want to mention, so last night was the opening of the Japanese Film Festival.
Awesome.
And in attendance here in the lobby of the Bioscope was a woman who won a beauty pageant, which is called Miss International.
Okay.
So she's Miss South Africa International. So it's like Miss World or Miss Universe, but yeah. This is Miss International. And it takes place in Tokyo every year, okay. I think. And this is her first time going to Tokyo. And I've been lucky enough to have gone a number of times through the band and personally. I think I've been there about sort of 7 times.
Yes,
and so I was able to like kind of blow her mind a little.
Oh, right.
And I was like, I've been to a hedgehog cafe. I've been to a bunny cafe. There's a cafe where they're dressed as French maids. I've dressed up in a Mario outfit and go-karted through the streets of Tokyo.
Cool.
And then I was getting into it where I was like, there are these companion cafes and there are these companion things that you can do, and it's odd because quite a lot of it is for females, it seems, as opposed to the other way around,
right,
where there were these boards with lots of faces of like handsome boys,
okay,
almost as if they're like pop stars.
Yeah,
but what it actually is that you can book time with them. They don't like get awesome. You off, because that's what a male would want, yes. Right? Yeah, that's what strip clubs around the world do. But in Japan, nothing is that simple. It is about companionship. And these guys will cuddle you or like have tea with you.
Ask
or like
how your day is.
Conversations.
Yeah.
And they'll just like be your like companion.
Right.
Wild, eh?
Interesting.
Okay, so he's going to be a family member. Okay, good old Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, man. Dude, I love that he's made his comeback.
Yeah, no, it's great. He deserves it. Yeah.
Now you just got to make the smart choices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
Yeah. Hey, did you guys see the Batman has finally set a shooting date?
Yes.
Okay. Thank the Lord. Next year, they're looking to shoot, because I was worried that it was dead in the water.
This is Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
The darker, but very detective-y.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's the most visually unique Batman we've seen since Tim Burton's Batman.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it looks nothing like any of the other Batmans. It's just so gothic.
Because they shot a lot of it in, like, Scotland and that sort of thing. Liverpool. So it doesn't feel like an American city.
Yeah. And it feels, the use of red in it. But anyway, so Matt Reeves, who did the most recent Planet of the Apes trilogy, which I think is severely underrated.
It's incredible.
He obviously did the first, the Batman. And apparently what I appreciate about James Gunn and DC for that time and Matt Reeves is that they didn't want to rush the next project.
Yeah.
So apparently James Gunn was like, cool, I'm giving you time to do this. Because now James Gunn, his DC universe, they're talking about having a different type of Batman.
Yeah.
So Matt Reeves is going to be a completely separate beast, which I love that, right? And apparently James Gunn was just waiting for a good script to come to his table, and he got it.
Yes.
So I'm so happy, because I was also worried Robert Pattinson was talking about, like, it's getting to the point where I'm going to be too old to return to this character. So we got to do it like now.
Yeah.
So I'm super relieved, because every time they were like, oh, Batman's been pushed. It's been pushed. It's been pushed.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know it's probably going to be 2027.
Yeah. It looks like 2027.
So that will be awesome.
Yeah. James Gunn said they were taking like a script first approach to everything. Yeah. They want a completed like script that they're 100% happy with before something gets greenlit.
But that's what I like about James Gunn, is he's one of the things he does is that he talks about how he often never does reshoots, because when they get to the actual set, they want to have that script perfect. Like they don't need to go back and go, oh shit, we need to do this. This also makes me very excited for the Clayface movie.
Yes, the Mark Flanagan.
That's
going
to be fucking crazy.
Yeah. Who's Clayface?
Batman villain.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a bunch of different versions of Clayface. Yeah. I don't actually know which one they're doing.
Yeah, there's an actor.
The first version is an actor who's like struggling for work, and he gets someone gives him a stuff that basically lets him like remold his face.
Yeah, to whatever he wants.
Yeah, he can look like anything. And it's kind of morphed into a thing where he's more of like a shapeshifter kind of character.
Yeah, and then,
It seems like it's going to be like a body horror kind of movie.
Yeah.
And this is through James Gunn and DC Studios.
Yeah, so it's going to be an R-rated horror film.
Yeah. It's written by Mark Flanagan.
Yeah, so, and he's obviously Haunting of Hill House.
But most recently, Life of Chuck, which is so
exactly.
good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Totally different kind of thing.
So that's going to be very cool.
But it's also like a totally different approach. Like right now, they're filming Avengers Doomsday, and it doesn't have a third act. Like that's these all the reports. They're actually still writing the movie, and they don't know how it's going to end.
That's not going to go well.
Yeah, dude, it seems
that's like it's a bad. Oof. That's a train wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not. Me and Graham were talking off air about that. How like with Avengers Doomsday, we are hoping that cool after Avengers Doomsday they realize okay, it's enough now. If they want to go back and do reboots and stuff, they should focus on stuff that we haven't seen before. Like, they want to reboot anything, X-Men. Like Graham mentioned, they've spent how much?
It was like $70 billion to buy Fox.
Yeah, to buy those rights for X-Men, and they haven't done anything with it. So what are you waiting for?
Yes.
Like, stop the, like, oh, wait, this is the... If you watch this movie at the end, you'll see it's a reference to Glibbity Gloop, and he's going to come in the next movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like... And then only everyone in the audience is going to pretend they know who Glibbity Gloop is.
You're talking specifically about the Marvel cinematic.
Yes,
How that perhaps needs a nice...
I liked Fantastic Four. I felt like there were stakes implemented into it.
I thought it was a very well-crafted
movie. Yeah, it looked different to all the other Marvel movies.
But you
movies.
Were just in, and you were with them, and it was cool.
Yeah, we didn't need backstory and stuff like that. You know, we know how they became the things they are, you know. And
just did it very successfully. You know?
Yeah, and they had an exposition scene that did, I think they used it quite well. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it didn't quite save the MCU. I mean, we're seeing that it hasn't done that financially, which is quite sad because I feel like it deserves a little more love. Yeah.
But they've just had such success. And so now you actually need a pause. You need a retirement. Yeah. You need part of a successful poker player is literally knowing when to hold them and knowing when to fold them.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, look, you could argue that it's superhero fatigue, but then you look at the Superman movie that's done so well.
Yeah.
It's just a case, I think, of people want to see something different again. Yeah. Like, they've got used to Zack Snyder's miserable Superman.
Yeah.
Now they're getting a fun, light, more comic-accurate Superman. Yeah. And I'm glad people are resonating with that because it was really good. I mean, Nick Holt as Lex Luthor was fantastic. And it's just a really fun movie. So
It definitely feels like the success of this latest Superman was because of James Gunn's authenticity and like love for that character.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And him sort of doing right by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
as
gets the character.
As opposed to being swarmed by a sort of corporate greed.
Yeah, 100%.
But okay, let's move on.
Yeah. How did you guys see the trailer for Train Dreams?
No.
Okay.
So this is Clint Bentley who wrote Sing Sing.
Yes.
I love Sing Sing.
Yeah. Sing Sing's so good.
Jesus. This is he's writing and directing this one.
Mm.
Okay. Do you know anything about it?
It's got Joel Edgerton and Felicity Jones and William H. Macy.
Jesus.
It's like a period piece. I don't really know. Like, the trailer doesn't really tell you what it's about, but it's set during like the sort of expansion era in the US when they're building like railways and everything. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah. So it's Joel Edgerton is like a railway worker. So he's away from his family all the time and all the drama that comes with that. It looks sort of Terrence Malick-y
Like Days of Heaven.
That sort of.
That's
very slice
cool.
of life kind of like.
Yeah. I love Days of Heaven.
The trailer doesn't really tell you much, but it looks very pretty. And because it's coming from the writer of Sing Sing, I'm like.
Of
yes,
course,
I'm
Oh my God, Sing Sing's so good.
Yeah, it looks very pretty.
Okay.
Very, very pretty.
What is it called again?
Train Dreams.
Do you know when it's coming? Probably next year.
I don't know. No, it's this year.
Oh.
Yeah. It's 2025.
Okay. Jeez.
I must look out for it in the release schedules.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
But it should be a goodie.
All right. Hey, did you guys see? I know you guys have mentioned it briefly in the past, but. This is Spinal Tap 2. I'm so excited for it. And the trailer is so good.
Yeah.
I was very worried.
Interesting one, yeah.
I was very worried initially because I was like, do we need a sequel?
Yeah.
And I'm just glad everyone's on board and the trailer's actually funny. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Very excited for it.
Exactly.
Cool. And no, I remember really loving that first one. Discovering
so
it in varsity, obviously many years later,
yes,
from when it came out, and just it was really one of the pioneers of that mockumentary.
Yeah, without that one in particular, we wouldn't have The Office, we wouldn't have Extras, we wouldn't have we wouldn't have any mockumentary comedy
Parks
of the sort.
Rec, all of
like it's so funny. Like it's one of those movies where it's one of the movies I've seen so many times. I can probably rehearse most of it. It's just so flipping quotable. All the songs are so funny, you know, like the bigger the cushion, the deeper the pushing. Yeah. Also, I have read.
So it, also, I have read.
I have read.
That's so funny. So yeah, we don't know when exactly the sequel's coming, do we?
It's this year, but I don't know if we're getting
it. I'm not seeing it in the South African release schedule. But I think it is definitely worth screening the first one. And I think that could actually be a really cool Video Store Presents.
Yeah, let's do
it. So we at the Bioscope here, obviously, we've got this weekly podcast. And when the right movie comes out, as the Video Store, we host a special screening. Mm. And I just think it's just so much fun to watch a movie like that with other people, with the music up, turn to 11.
Yeah.
There's lots of in-jokes in this movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that could be rad.
Cool.
We'll set the date and announce it soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there anything else?
No.
Well, we got a bunch of, I was saying this beforehand, now that the kind of summer movie season is over, they're now like throwing the trailers out for all the, what we kind of slightly derisively call arty movies, the Oscar bait kind of, those sort of movies. So we got a bunch of trailers this week. We can kind of speed run some of them, I guess.
Good, yeah.
Did you guys see the trailer for Twinless?
Twinless. Yes, yeah. That was a Sundance movie, I think. So. Yeah,
this is a movie with Dylan O'Brien.
I like Dylan O'Brien, yeah.
He plays a guy who's in like a therapy group for people who have lost a twin sibling.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so it's listed as a comedy, but it looks like freaking harrowing. And then it's about him, like he meets like another dude there who's obviously also lost his twin brother and like the relationship that they form. And it looks quite...
Yeah, it's interesting when people say like Truman Show, when it's still listed as a comedy. I'm like... Is it
like it's funny, but it's not a comedy?
It's funny, but it's funny sad. Yeah, you know? Exactly. Or like Eternal Sunshine.
We've revisited it. Yes. It's not a comedy.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like Eternal Sunshine is a drama.
History has now labeled it.
Yeah, being John Malkovich, kooky, funny idea at its heart. It's a drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. What else?
But it looks pretty good. Hey, did you guys see the trailer for Eden?
I still haven't seen the trailer. It just doesn't appeal to me.
Really?
I've just seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
It's
a new Ron Howard film.
Yeah.
So all of them stranded on the island.
Yeah, well...
Jude Law.
They've gone to this island voluntarily to get away from society. So I think the idea is Jude Law and Vanessa Kirby are a couple who have gone to this island to kind of get away from the modern world.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other people who kind of like idolize this idea have come to the island as well.
Oh, wow.
And now they have to kind of face the idea that it's not like a paradise. Mm. It's actually kind of like, it's incredibly difficult and kind of hellish living on, you know, an island away from society where you have to be entirely self-sustaining and that sort of thing.
Interesting. But Ron Howard certainly knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Mm. And it's got a great cast. I mean, Jude Law, Vanessa Kirby, Ana de Armas, Daniel Brühl, Sydney Sweeney.
I love Daniel Brühl.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, very, great very cast. Underappreciated.
Good director.
Okay.
I think there was quite a lot of like a bit of buzz around this one at some point.
It seems to have dissipated, I think. I know part of the PR... like pushing it was apparently there's steamy sex scenes.
Oh, right.
So they're trying to get all the bros on board. They're like, oh, bro, Sydney Sweeney, oh, hell yeah. You know, like, so Trump's going to watch that because she's a registered Republican, apparently, and her jeans are blue. Do you know this? Yeah.
The so Sweeney stupid.
Stuff. Yeah, oh my God. It's
so
everywhere.
Stupid. Okay. Yeah. Hey, did you guys see the trailer for Him?
Oh, that looks crazy.
I don't know what the hell this movie's about.
Yeah, the
it looks
football thing, yeah. It looks crazy.
So there was this amazing exchange program between WITS and NYU.
Right.
Where these Tisch students would come to Joburg for 6 months at a time. Mm. We'd do classes together. I naturally gravitated to these people. I thought this was interesting.
That's cool.
That you give up 6 months living in New York to come to Johannesburg. So I've worked with the bunch, collaborated with good friends. I fell in love with one or two of them. This was over the course of like 3 or 4 years. There were amazing students that came. One of which was a guy called Zach Akers, who at the time was writing his first novel.
Okay.
Like, you know, we were all in varsity and he's like, I just want to... It was like a challenge for himself where he's like, I want to have a novel completed.
That's cool.
And he was a writer. He's one of the writers of Him.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
So he went on and it was so cool to see all these friends, including Zach, like do stuff.
That's flipping cool.
He was involved in something called Limetown, which I think was a podcast that then became a show.
Okay.
Or it was a very successful podcast. He was involved in something that, remember Facebook at one point was going to create their own originals?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
And something he was involved in was going to be on that. And it was like successful that you get to be a part of it. Unfortunately,
that didn't work out.
You're at the mercy of the success of this platform. But it was still very cool to be like, no, well, this dude's like onto something. So I've reached out to him and he's open to the idea of having a discussion. So hopefully this can work out.
That's very cool.
And we can time it around him because him looks really dark and wild and surreal and it's crazy. Fucked up.
The one thing that's bothering me about the marketing for that is every publication and everything is saying Jordan Peele's him.
Yes.
He's just producing it.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, stop eliminating the guy who directed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so insulting. Like, I hate that.
Sure.
I get that it's a ploy to get people interested.
Yeah.
But the visuals alone are just so freaking, like, interesting. I'm like, I need to watch this because the first trailer was surreal as hell. I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like you've got a rising football star who spends time with like a mentor.
Mm. Almost like a Whiplash.
And it's like a Whiplash meets almost like kind of Ex Machina, where it's like you kind of meet your hero, but your hero kind of
sucks.
A bit of a psycho, and sort of things descend into chaos.
Yeah.
So,
I think so.
It's one of the Wayans brothers who's playing. Really interesting because he's known mostly for comedic roles, but he looks like.
But remember, he was in Requiem. So he can eye the odd, like, good art house film.
Yeah.
Cool.
I suppose I can do one more. Hey, did you guys see the trailer for Cold Storage?
No.
This is more of like a horror comedy. It's Joe Keery from Stranger Things.
Oh,
and
I think
Liam
Joe
Neeson. And
Liam Neeson.
Oh, cool. And Georgina Campbell from Barbarian.
It's like
a horror comedy. Some like secret government lab virus breaks out and makes zombies. It looks silly and fun and like super violent.
Okay. So maybe not an Oscar contender.
No, definitely not. But it just looks like a fun goofy
for the Christmas.
Yeah, season. I love fun horror movies. Man.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You gotta
what
have
like.
The horror movies. I mean, we're gonna talk about weapons now, but like some of the best cinema experiences are watching a horror movie with a full crowd. It can be the worst horror movie. It's just fun as hell.
I was telling someone yesterday, funny enough, in the lobby, we were talking about it, and there was a interesting study done on all the genres and their popularity in cinema specifically. Comedy sort of waves, almost like a sort of heartbeat. But it remains relatively steady.
It's dependable.
Yeah.
Western literally looks like a canyon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a scene from a vista from a Western where
the searches,
it was this big popularity and then it nosedived for many years and then it got popular again and then it nosedived. But horror was like a steady increase.
Mm.
And it just makes sense that in today's world, when your average mid comedy, you know, is going to end up on a Netflix or on a Disney Plus, you don't need to rush out
and
watch it. But as you said, horror can be enjoyed in a cinema. There's something fun about it. It's a night out. There's also that lovely study about how watching a horror, your body doesn't know whether it's kind of having sex or
witnessing
horror. Like the signals to your body are quite similar. I'm going to butcher the science, but it was something along those lines. So it's like it is this endorphic rush that leaves you exhilarated.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I mean, some of the marketing for Together, so that's with Alison Brie and
Dave Franco.
And like Neon, their marketing for that has been phenomenal. So not just them on their PR campaign, but just one of the things they did was that they set up these pupil reading devices at a theater, and they captured everyone's reactions for like 30 minutes in Together, like the craziest scenes, and then they like show side by side like a funny moment, a scary moment, a fucked up moment. Like, it's so cool that they're playing with that.
I chose Together for the Bioscope.
I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, that is, that was...
It's getting rave reviews.
Yeah, and that was something that I, like, saw coming as a no-brainer. I was able to attend an exhibitor screening, but there were some issues on the cinema on the day, and I couldn't wait. Okay. So, unfortunately, I haven't seen it, but the other folks... that were there were like, it's cool.
Cool.
And so I've chosen that. So that starts on the 15th.
Okay.
Yeah, Friday, next week. Yeah.
So the screenings so for that pumped. Are at the Bioscope. Just because I could kind of guarantee that that's going to be cool.
It okay. will be, yeah.
It's a neon film. It's it's in that horror world. It's body a horror yeah. that's a body horror, but it also is saying something a little bit more by the sounds of it. This is kind of what the substance was for sort of body politics and, you know, your self-love. Mm. This looks like about couples yeah. and codependency. Yeah. So it's nice that it looked like it was going to be a cool, smart horror.
Yeah.
Not just a scary nun that is satanic.
Yeah.
I've for whatever reason, didn't have weapons on my radar.
Right.
And, but we had Perrin go and watch it last night, and I think I'm going to try and change my mind and find the space for it at the Bioscope.
Yeah.
But currently, I just, out of sheer, we just don't have the space.
Mm.
Hadn't chosen weapons, but am I wrong, Perrin?
You're wrong.
Okay.
So weapons is phenomenal. Like, so it's from the same director who did, I think his name's Zach Cregger. Yeah. He did Barbarian, which is, I think, still on Netflix. It's one of the craziest, most unpredictable horrors I've seen in recent memory, Barbarian. The trailer also was, the promotion for that was phenomenal.
Barbarian.
Yeah. Okay. But Weapons is his follow-up. I think Weapons is, it's obviously bigger in scope. I saw it was described before, like months ago, when people were building hype for it, as basically a horror Magnolia by P.T. Okay. Anderson, right? So it's intersecting stories. It's the film's told through separate chapters. So like first chapter will be Justine, and it'll be Paul, nice. And it'll be this. And then they all end up at the same point.
Okay.
And it is so damn good. We watched it with a full house last night. Everyone was dead quiet for most of the movie. They laughed when it was supposed to be funny. It's still got that humor of Barbarian.
Cool.
But it's just doing things so differently. It's just the energy that it moves at is just so exhilarating. It's one of those movies I didn't want to end. Like,
right.
When it ended, I was actually bummed. I was like, I want more. but it didn't end unsatisfactory. It ended so satisfying, like Barbarian did. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's a great little movie about, like, because the thing with horror, especially these, you know, fancier horrors of the past 20 years now, you know, like these arty horrors. I mean, horrors always had art horrors back in the day. But the whole emergence of A24 horrors and neons and all that, you know, a lot of them deal with grief and trauma. Pretty much all of them do, right? So it's not uncommon, but thankfully these films are doing good with it. They're not repeating the same tropes. They might repeat the same tropes, but they are done in such fascinating, unique ways, right?
Nice.
With Weapons, it uses that so well, the whole trauma aspect. And it, for me, it feels like it's using trauma as a means to manipulate, you know what I mean? Or grief to manipulate, to do one's bidding and stuff like that. And if you watch the movie, I'm not spoiling anything, the title makes sense at one point. You're like, that's why it's called this.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it's just so, it's fucking scary.
The main sort of plot point that we've been given is that in the middle of the night,
yes,
on a random day, all the kids of one particular classroom.
Except for one
kid.
Okay. Disappear at 2:17 a.m.
They all get up out of bed, climb out their windows or whatever, and just
disappear.
Go somewhere. They disappear.
Yeah, they on the poster, the way they're running, that's how they run. So in the film, they only know that they've all left at a specific time because people's like Ring cameras picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Ring doorbell cameras. And it's just a great cast. It's Josh Brolin, Ozark, what's her name?
Oh, the blonde chick with
the curly she's
hair.
Phenomenal in it. Yeah. It's just, it's a really fucking great movie. The mystery of it is amazing. That's one thing. So I've been trying to convince my girlfriend to watch it, but she's like, it looks too scary for her. But I'm like, but you love Barbarian. She's like, yeah. So I'm like, with this, if you love Barbarian, you'll fucking love Weapons. And if you love mystery to your any story, Weapons is the movie for you. It's just so fucking intriguing. It's just, oh, it's so good. I'm dying to watch it again. Like,
okay. Sure.
Amazing film.
I've got to carve out the space for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's so good. You gotta.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Lovely, guys. Is there anything else that we are dying to chat about?
I don't know.
I rewatched Armageddon recently.
What was that like?
It's the dumbest movie
I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like, so I was prompted to watch it because Cole shared. It's Ben Affleck's commentary track on Armageddon is legendary.
It's incredible.
Like, it's incredible. He spends the whole movie just talking about how stupid this movie is. So there's a famous, you've heard, Russell, his argument with Michael Bay on the movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so for any of the listeners who don't know, Ben Affleck apparently one day on set went up to Michael Bay, or I don't know if it was on set or pre-production, but anyways, he went up to Michael Bay and was like, okay, so the premise of Armageddon is about a comet coming towards Earth that's going to destroy us, right? But the only way to destroy it is to blow it up. But we have very limited time to do it, right? So they hatch a plan that, oh, let's get the best oil drillers in the world to go onto a comet and blow it up, right? So Ben Affleck goes to Michael Bay and was like, hey, wouldn't it make more sense for NASA to just train astronauts how to drill? And then Michael Bay said, shut the fuck up.
Yes.
So he spends the whole movie just talking about how dumb this movie is. He's like, oh, look at these guys. They're like saying, oh, well, you got to pick my team because we're the best, you know? And like, it's just so silly because there's moments in the movie where it's like they're talking about how like Bruce Willis's character is such a doof in this movie. He's so arrogant and like, tough guy, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's they've had 8 months to train these NASA guys how to drill, and they apparently can't tell their thumb from their ass, right? So
there actually is, I forget the movie, but they actually did try and train.
Yeah, they
the
tried
NASA
to train
guys,
them, but these guys don't know how to work a drill. It's too hard.
Yes.
You know, they know how to do astrophysics and stuff.
But did you ever hear the story of when NASA brought like a woman into space for one of the first times, and they packed like an exponential amount of tampons, and the woman was like, what do you think fucking happens? Like, why do I need like a Dis-Chem shelf worth of tampons?
If that was the 50s, they would have packed her like a kitchen set and like a knitting stuff, and they're like, oh, this is what women like, you know.
So NASA has proven to be a bit stupid in the past. But no, you would think that they could be engineers.
Yeah, yes. So instead of 8 months, they train these oil drillers to be astronauts in a month.
In 1 month.
Yes. And there's this montage that is so like, the thing with Armageddon, I don't know if this is where the cliche started, but like there's the silly ragtag team montage where they're like, we're not taking this seriously.
Yes.
And Steve Buscemi, get it, guys, is a hound dog in it. He hounds all the babes, and he is, you know, super, like, the girls just can't resist his charms, you know?
But he's Steve Buscemi. He's not the most handsome.
Yeah, he's as Francis McDormand says in Fargo, the funny-looking fella, you know?
Yes.
So this movie is just so fucking dumb, and there's one scene that I was telling Graham that really actually pissed me off. I was like, fuck off. Was when they've got a rover that's gonna go on this comet, and all these scientists are standing there because the big macho men are around and they're scared of them, right? And the macho men are like taking apart this rover, and they're like, what's this junk?
Yeah.
Come on, guys, we gotta lighten this thing. And they're just dismantling this thing because they know about space rovers, and all these scientists are writing notes. They're like, you know, they're right. Fuck, it's so dumb. And then most of the movie is just set on a steaming comet and shaky cam, and everyone's like, we gotta get out of here, the Russians are coming, you know. Well, not the Russians, but there's a Russian scientist as well. And it's exhausting.
Did you guys know that NASA nearly killed Big Bird?
What is this story?
The Sesame Street character.
Sesame Street character. They planned to send Big Carol Spenny, the actor of Big Bird, up on a space shuttle as part of like a promotional thing. They wanted to put like him in costume as Big Bird on the space shuttle and take it to space on Challenger.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
That's the one that blew up on TikTok.
They sent a teacher up. Jeez. That's what they did instead. They sent a like a civilian teacher
up.
That's
nuts.
They wanted to send Big Bird.
Holy crap. That's like shame, no disrespect, but that's like a Final Destination escape.
Yes.
That's crazy. Mm. Wow.
That's wild. They're just logistically, they couldn't do it.
So yeah, if you want a movie that will make your brain fly out of your head, Armageddon is the one for you, baby.
Yeah, you're either an Armageddon kind of guy or a Deep Impact kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. I think Deep Impact has more impact.
Yeah.
I think it could even be fun to watch Armageddon with that commentary.
Yes.
As a screening at the bioscope.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a phenomenal idea.
That could be a really fun event at the bioscope.
I need to watch it, the Batman and Robin commentary by Joel Schumacher.
Oh, it's
apparently him just apologizing for like 2 hours. He's just apologizing like, I'm so sorry about this. Like, this movie's terrible. I'm so sorry about this. But yeah, what was the one? It's either Armageddon or Deep Impact. But my favorite Michael Bay movie is it's The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love The Rock.
The Rock's a jam.
It's so fucking
good. It's in the Criterion collection.
Yeah, same as Armageddon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I didn't know Con Air was not Michael Bay.
No, it's not.
The longest time ever.
It's got big Michael Bay vibes.
It 100% yes. does. Like, I started watching, I'm like, oh, let me go through a Michael Bay binge.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh.
Michael Bay is specifically the producer. No,
he's not even involved in the director of these movies. He's director,
He's the director.
He produces a bunch of stuff as well, but he directs a lot.
Con Air was directed by the same guy who did the Never Gonna Give You Up, Never Gonna Let You Down.
Rick Astley video.
Astley video, yeah. So a lot of people on the internet have made the connection between, like, he went from this gem to this gem.
It's so Michael Bay. Holy shit.
The Rock has got the famous Sean Connery line.
It's so fucking good.
Where he's like, what is it about doing your best? I'm doing my best.
Oh, yeah. Losers always whine about doing their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
in a Scottish accent.
Fuck the prom queen.
Fuck the prom queen.
That's quite witty in this moment. Yeah. Thanks for your wit.
And of course, there's the fan theory that he's actually James Bond in that movie.
Of course. He's probably James Bond in The Untouchables as
yes.
well. Because he's supposed to be Irish and he's speaking like with a Scottish accent.
Yes.
You know? Like, oh my God.
But like his backstory lines up with being James Bond.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
An edgy James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to rewatch that, man. I love that movie.
It's a lot of fun.
Mm.
I saw a movie recently
that
is coming out soon, and I wanted to talk about it, but I don't want to give too much away. So I'm not going to talk about what the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to talk about, the fact, is that it had a big reveal.
Right.
It had a big like plot twist.
Okay.
And it annoyed me.
Okay.
Because, let's just say, you are focusing on a character for the majority of the movie, and you are really, like, the point of the movie is to have you be invested in their emotions.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this person is under threat and is endangered and is, like, seeking help.
Okay.
I don't want to give too much more away.
Okay.
Then you later reveal that, no, this person is working for the bad people.
Okay.
So all of a sudden you're like, oh, fuck, man. I can't invest in this person anymore.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it kind of ruins the whole movie.
Right.
Really? How early does that reveal happen?
It's near the end. It's like in the final in the final wrap up act.
Right.
But you're like, it's actually, you've deceived me. You've pissed me off.
Yeah.
And you also, now the other thing to talk about is that when you do have this big reveal, unlike maybe a Sixth Sense, but often you're like, now that the rug's been pulled, I'm never going to watch this movie again.
Yeah, I've got a few of those.
Because that's not fun.
Yeah.
It's like, now I've been deceived, and now...
Do they line up, though, when you look back at what the twist reveals?
No, it doesn't feel like it does.
Because
it feels like you were shown too much of this person.
Oh, so it doesn't line up.
And so you feel like, wait, no. Because... Fuck's sakes. So that was a bit annoying. What are some of the plot twists that you guys have sort of dug?
The worst plot twist I've ever experienced. I mean, I fucking hated the plot twist in Now You See Me. God, I hate that movie. but it's so fucking stupid. Shame. No offense, people have fun with that. Anyways, there's a French extreme horror movie. So in the early mid-2000s, there was a French extreme horror movement. Movies like Martyrs. Yeah, Martyrs. And this other one is one of the key ones. It's Alexander AJA, he directed 28 Weeks Later, and he did the Crocodile Jaws movie, Crawl. Right. So yeah, he's a French horror director. He's quite prominent. He's not bad. But his like breakthrough, I don't know if it was his first film, but it's called High Tension or Haute Tension in France. America, it's High Tension. England, it's Switchblade Romance. It's got two different titles.
Okay.
And it's like a slasher movie where there's this maniac on the rampage after this girl who's supposedly, you know, insane. Well, she's out of like an institution, and this guy's like hunting people in the area. He's like just going on a rampage, and he's specifically going after her, right? But now there's this twist in this movie that completely undoes all the work before. And before, like, it's not an exceptional film, but it's a really fun, like, fucked up slasher movie, right? But there's this twist that is so fucking stupid. So the plot hole is so large that the whole movie just falls straight through it. Like, you can't watch the movie again because you're like, that's the dumbest plot twist of all time. And I went every now and then, whenever I'm angry about something, I always type it in Google and then slap on Reddit at the end to see if people agree with me, right? So I do that with Survivor, I do that with Below Deck, I do with all my shows, right? And with this, there's just a weird amount of people, almost like people defending everything Zack Snyder makes.
Yeah.
They defend High Tension's twist.
Right.
And all of their explanations just doesn't hold water, ever. Okay. And it's just such a fucking movie-breaking twist that it's impossible to recover from. It feels like they threw it on there because they're like, you're going to be crazy, this twist. Okay, cool. Can we maybe rewrite everything to make that make sense? No, let's just throw it in there.
It's interesting because we were talking earlier about whether or not these films start as a complete product and whether or not they're fully realized.
Yeah.
And you sometimes wonder whether some of these twists do come a little bit later on.
I think this came on the shoot later on. Like, it just makes zero sense. It's so fucking stupid. Oh, it makes me angry.
But something, what's interesting is that when you look back on something like Sixth Sense, you now want to rewatch all those moments and really, you know, try and see, once again what you were given, and does this hold up?
Yes.
Usual Suspects, great example.
Yeah.
Like, I think. For me, even though Usual Suspects, I mean, look, there's been so many great twists. One of the best original, like, movie twists was Les Diaboliques, French film, came before Psycho. This was the film that convinced Hitchcock, okay, now's the time to make Psycho.
Okay.
And it came out like 2 years before. Hitchcock actually wanted to adapt that originally.
Okay.
But I can't remember why he didn't make it. But basically, that was like the most shocking film for its time.
Okay.
And that twist was like, to this day, holds water. It's amazing.
Okay.
But then you look at something like Fight Club and The Sixth Sense, right? So those two came out around the same time. Mm. For me, those ruined the twist experience for filmgoers after that.
Because it became the point.
Yeah, every time people watch this, the immediate guess is that guy's either dead or that guy is two people.
In his imagination.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that happened in Secret Window with Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
You call it immediately. You're like, I called it, you know?
Yeah, Beautiful Mind. Beautiful Mind, yeah. An interesting one where you're like,
yeah, but like it, I feel like that ruined the plot twist going forward. Thankfully, it's now so far away, like it's 25, 26 years, Fight Club's 26 years old now. They are, the distance is growing now that new filmgoers are, who haven't seen those, are forgetting that twist happened.
Right.
So like the obvious pop culture big twist obviously is Darth Vader in Empire Strikes Back, right? So like, when that movie came out, we look at that now that that's, oh, everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows Darth Vader is this, that, this. You know, I'm not saying it just in case someone listening is like, oh, fuck, you know. But like, but watching that, I mean, there was an episode of The Simpsons where it was like a flashback episode. And this put into perspective for me that like, oh, that twist actually was fucking huge at the time. Mm. Okay, I'm going to spoil it now. Sorry, guys. there's a scene in The Simpsons where Marge and Homer, they're on a date night and they're walking out of The Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. And there's this long line of people. Homer's like, wow, who would have thought that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father? And everyone in the line's like, oh, thanks for ruining the movie for me, Mr. Ruiner, you know?
Which is apparently something that actually happened.
Yeah, like, because you look at it now, if you watch those Star Wars films without knowing anything, you're like, holy shit, that's actually a fucking huge reveal. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not just there. I mean, I accidentally ruined it for one of my friends.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, he hadn't seen Star Wars. So one of my Star Wars friends was showing him Star Wars for the first time. So it was one of those stages where me and two other friends have seen Star Wars so many times, we're just making fun of the movie relentlessly while watching it, you know? Even though we love it, right? And, like, eventually he was like, get the fuck out. Like, we were like, okay, sorry. So we left. And then this other friend and my other friend who hadn't seen it were watching. And then, like, we came in. It was like, oh, has Darth Vader told Luke that he's his father yet? And Matt, my friend, was like, I didn't know that. And I was like, fuck. And my friend was so pissed. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, sorry. I thought it was like everyone knew that, you know?
There's a band called Matt and Kim.
Yes, yeah.
And there's a really cool music video of them. They're sitting at a cafe on a street, and then they get up and they slowly like strip their clothes.
Right.
And it's very cool, and then it ends with them being like hit by a car. And it's one of those
familiar.
Where you're like, whoa, fuck. And someone, I was watching people watch the video, and someone was clearly like showing it to them.
Yeah.
And I remember going, oh, fuck, yeah, this is the one when they get hit by the car. And this dude's face where he was like, fuck. He like looked up and was like,
ew,
dude,
son of a bitch.
I inadvertently do that all the time.
And
like,
it's so innocent.
This is the thing where this happens and that happens. And then Kira, my girlfriend's like, fuck off. Like, seriously?
There was one thing that happened at Mr. Vinyl, which I will never repeat.
Yeah.
Which was, I was just innocently at the counter.
Yeah.
And this dude had a stack of vinyls. Mm. And one of them was them Crooked Vultures, which is this once-off special sort of super band of members of Foo Fighters, Nirvana,
Led Zeppelin,
Queens of the Stone Age. And when I saw it on the pile, I went, ooh, that's special. And what I didn't realize is that this guy was busy like getting his vinyls appraised by one of the dudes at Mr. Vinyl, where you want to downplay that a vinyl has a crazy value so that you can get a good deal on it.
Right.
And I just saw his face just going like, fuck, dude.
Oh, the actual owner of the shop. Yeah. Like, oh, that one's so fucking rare. Wow. Where did you find it?
Yeah, that was what I gave away.
That is a very hard to find pressing. Hey?
Totally.
Yeah, I remember that.
No, and I just sort of afterwards, he was like, dude, like, please, like, don't do that. And I was like, it came from such an innocent place.
Yeah I would have done the same. Like, there's been a few times where.
At that very moment, one of the other guys who worked at Mr. Vinyl, like, he was like quietly shitting himself, where he was like,
oh, we're gonna have to fork out.
No, like, as in, like, I want to buy this, I want to get this. So, like, everyone was very excited about this vinyl.
Yeah, there was one, just before we move on, the vinyl thing. I remember there used to be vinyl, like, fairs in the courtyard here.
Yeah.
And one day I was, like, flipping through stuff. And I remember when I went to France, I bought My Bloody Valentine EP. So Creation Records is, like, a super rare, like, they don't exist anymore. Finding their records by, like, Slow Dive and Ride and stuff like that, they shoegaze bands, very hard to find. They're fucking valuable. So I accidentally bought a bootleg in France, and I was bummed about it. So I saw that same EP here for only, like, $100, and that goes for, like, $1,500, like, badly used on Discogs.
Right.
So I was like, fucking hell, I gotta get this high. And I had to like hold my cool. I was like, hi, I will take this and several other records, please, before he notices anything. But yeah, that was my thing. Lovely. You wanted to say about your plot twist.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I forgot about this. Are you guys familiar with the Tommy Westfall cinematic universe?
Tommy Westfall.
Okay, so there is an 80s hospital drama called Saint Elsewhere, which has one of the most like notorious endings ever.
Okay.
So the way
the TV
show. Yeah, it's a TV show, hospital drama TV show.
American, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the show ends. There is a kid in the hospital named Tommy Westfall, who is a, he's like an autistic kid and he has all these problems and stuff. The end of the show, right at the end, it crossfades from the hospital into a snow globe of the hospital. That so the kid is holding, game. Tommy Westfall is holding. They're in like an apartment. But then there's other people from the show in the apartment who were doctors. And now one's just like dressed as like a plumber or like just a regular guy. The implication being that this entire show existed in the imagination of this autistic kid.
Oh my God.
Okay. Which is like ridiculous to begin with. But the thing about Saint Elsewhere is it is connected, like even tangentially, to literally hundreds of TV shows and movies.
Are you serious?
Yes, because characters from like MASH were on Saint Elsewhere. And then MASH is then connected to other things. And like Law and Order is connected to Saint Elsewhere. And Law and Order is connected to The X-Files.
Jesus.
And The X-Files is then connected to The Simpsons. And if you connect all these things like this, there's literally like there's like a map that someone made. It's like 700
so everything
TV shows.
This kid's
amazing. The joke.
Are we?
We could be
snow globe right now.
We could be. I'm gonna try and find the map that shows like it's everything from like Star Trek to the X-Files to CSI.
How many
everything.
Seasons did they do?
I don't think it was like five or six or something.
Okay.
It ran
the full show was in his head.
That's like what the ending implies, is that the show existed in the imagination of this
child. That's
a
cop-out. That's a fucking cop-out.
Especially
when that undoes all the character development.
Exactly.
You know, it's like Dallas. There's that famous season where the whole season was a dream.
Yes.
And apparently people stopped watching because they were like, what the fuck
You can only
is
do
this?
That once, and you can only get away with that in the 70s or 80s, whatever that was.
And they like killed the main character, didn't they? Wasn't that the big thing?
I can't remember. But
I think the main character of Dallas died.
JR. Who killed JR was the big cliffhanger.
And then that all turned out to not be real.
Yeah, you see, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
You create this big moment that is going to shake everything up and then undo it completely by going, okay, guys, don't worry. It was just a draft.
Yeah.
We're going to put the real ending in. You know?
No, it's the same as sort of amnesia in general. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Yes.
You bang your head and you sort of maybe forget 5 or 10 minutes before the moment. It's like, you don't lose your memory.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, exactly. That's why my issue with the high tension, the twist, is it's the cop-out. You're like, okay, it's lazy writing, but that laziness has effectively untangled everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you've fucked yourself. You know, you worked so hard to get there, then you just like tripped over your own shoelaces, you know?
Interesting. But Magic, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Awesome. That was a lovely chat. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, and thanks everyone for wandering in and having a good time with us. Our home base is the video store.
Yes.
.co.za. We've got some cool stuff. We are hoping to do an episode with the filmmakers and the people behind Street Trash, which is a very cool B-movie, very Bioscope as we speak. But yeah, hopefully weapons can be carved out and space can be made for it in the Bioscope program. Otherwise, Together is on its way and tickets are on sale. Caught Stealing. Some stuff is already on sale for that.
Awesome.
So yeah, we're going into the good era, as you said. This is the Oscar era, which is very Bioscope sort of time of the year. We skipped quite a lot of the big blockbuster summer season movies, but as we go from here on, we're in more Bioscope territory.
Yes.
Right.
Magic, thank you guys.
Yay. Thank
See you.
Soon. Bye.
Goodbye.